You are listening to the Bethel Church Sermon Podcast, a ministry of Bethel Church in Yale, South Dakota.
If you would, with me, just let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 for a few moments. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I think when we think about Thanksgiving and we think about giving thanks, this is one of the verses that automatically come into our minds. You'll catch it when we get there. Just start in verse 14. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Notice the always. Rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Synonym would be always. Give thanks in all circumstances, always. And then here he says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. But it's not just the will of God, it's the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Just let that sink in for a moment. A very profound text. Whether it is possible or not is a question for another day. But this is the will of God for you, that you be thankful in all circumstances. I think that for those in the agricultural community, I think those of us that are around people that work in the agricultural community, we get the meaning of Thanksgiving a little bit more than maybe other people do. Like to think that since the first Thanksgiving came about because of a successful harvest, it seems that those whose livelihoods come from this would see clearly God's provision and his blessing, and we would understand gratitude. I heard several years ago how, and I was speaking with maybe one of you, and this person said that we are thankful people as farmers. We know what it is to depend on God for crops. Over the years, I've thought about that statement, and I tend to agree that those in the agricultural community should be among the most thankful because they see the Lord's provision and they have tremendous opportunity to depend on the goodness and the mercy of God. Having said that, there are some, even in the agricultural community, that just are not thankful people. And they look around and they see the rain fall on what they perceive are the unrighteous people around them, as well as themselves, and they chalk it up to God's common grace. We know that some might not voice this prayer, and I don't watch The Simpsons, but Bart Simpson, he prayed a prayer on Thanksgiving that I think is important for us to hear. He's sitting around the table at Thanksgiving, and he says, dear God, we paid for all this stuff ourselves, so thank you for nothing. The fact is, we need to hear that perspective. Because Bart is a kid, and he's echoing what he sees all around him. And he certainly isn't seeing the attitude of thanksgiving and thanking God for the blessings that he's getting. He sees people that work hard. He He sees people that knows what it is to work. He sees people that work hard so they can get paid and live the American dream, so they can put food on the table. He sees people working hard all around them. And he says, we paid for this stuff, God. We did this. We put this food here. What did you do? The fact is, we could have had more stuff. We could have had better stuff if the market prices were higher. If only we had the chance at more land or whatever it is. You just fill in the blank. We did this. We accomplished this. And God, if you were good enough to us, we could have even accomplished more. We have that tendency, don't we? I think I have a unique perspective. I'm a town kid. Was a town kid. Well, I'm not a kid anymore. I'll correct that before somebody, one of you do. But I often try to put myself in a place of a kid in our own church and think about what they hear from us as grown-ups, as we're visiting with one another, as we're sitting around and drinking coffee. What language do they hear? Do they hear language of complaining or language of thanksgiving? And I think that our church, I think that you all have a wonderful perspective here. I think there's a lot of thanksgiving language that takes place. I think we're very thankful people. But it is still easy for even people who are very thankful to fall into the trap of complaining, isn't it? Just think about for a moment the first Thanksgiving. I know it's Thanksgiving around the corner and you're watching movies on the Hallmark Channel and you're kind of getting sick of thinking about Thanksgiving, and if you're watching Hallmark, you might be getting sick of Christmas already. But I'm sure you've heard this story, a story that is deeply American in one sense, but it goes all the way back before American was a nation. The pilgrims landed in 1620, and they're not prepared for what they would encounter. About half of those that got there died that first year. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine living through that? Probably not. But can you imagine the conversations that the young people were probably hearing? I would guess that there was some real similarities there between the Israelites that were being led by Moses to the Promised Land, because there must have been complaining. Why did we come here? We should have stayed. We just come here to die. But as they were working through it, in 1621, after half of them died, they planted corn and they had a successful corn harvest. It was very successful. And then they decided to celebrate with a feast. Listen to the words of Edward Winslow, who was at that first Thanksgiving. He said, "Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent four men on fowling, turkey hunting, that we might, after a special manner, rejoice together after we gather the fruit of our labors. And although it not always be so plentiful as it was this time with us, yet by God's goodness, we are people so far from want." We are people so far from want. I mean, it would have been so easy for these people, and I'm sure some of them had a bad attitude, but it would have been easy for them to just write off that corn harvest and to say something like, "Finally, something is going our way. Maybe now we won't die next year." But to live there, and the kids are sitting there hearing this and hearing, "By by the goodness of God, we are so far from want in our situation. Those words, I think it caused us to take and just examine our own attitude of thanksgiving. Let's just take a few minutes and do that. We said that the attitude of ungratefulness comes easy. Let me say that a different way. And that is that human nature tends toward ingratitude. You know why Thanksgiving isn't normal? Because our nature is inclined toward being ungrateful people. At least that's how Stephen Nichols puts it. So what are some things that breed ingratitude in our lives? Let's just think about this for a few moments. Stephen Nichols gives a sum. He says, he lists a couple here. He says, what he calls culprits of ingratitude. And the first culprit of ingratitude in our lives is prosperity. He says that prosperity breeds ingratitude. Deuteronomy 8:17 says it well. Before last you say in your heart, my power and by the might of my hand has gotten me all of this wealth. Have you ever heard the phrase, money changes people? Perhaps you've not only heard the saying, but you've seen that in your own eyes, in the lives of people you know. Do you think that when people are changed by their wealth, that they think they have been changed because of their wealth? I know I have some family that didn't start off with a lot of money, and they became quite wealthy. And some of the other family would say, they have radically changed. Their lives have changed, but I know they would not agree. Perhaps we ought to look at ourselves, and if we started with little compared to what we have now, we should ask ourselves, has the prosperity in my life bred ingratitude? Has it bred ingratitude on some even small level? Being prosperous isn't wrong. Ingratitude is. The next culprit of ungratefulness, as Nichols puts it, is our entitlement culture. The culture of entitlement. Entitlement is simply something that we think we have the right to. When applied to Thanksgiving, why should I be grateful for something I deserve to have anyway? I deserve to benefit from my hard work, don't I? When it comes to the markets, I've made some very wise choices. I deserve all that I have. I've done this. I studied hard in school. I got this job. I've created this business from this to this. I deserve to benefit. Why should I be grateful? I should be grateful to myself. After all, I am entitled to this. My dad worked hard for it. I helped him. I'm entitled to it. I am owed this. So why should I say thank you? I think that's a question that we need to ask ourselves. Is there some way in our lives where entitlement has bred ingratitude? It leads us to a third culprit. And this is what Dr. Robert Edmonds calls the to whom question. The to whom question. It's interesting that in the Bart Simpson prayer that we mentioned earlier, he knew that he was praying to God. He knew to whom he was supposed to be thankful. It was a prayer, after all. But he pointed out that really God, in his mind, wasn't the to whom that he ought to be thankful to. So this is really the to whom question. When we say thank you, to whom are we grateful? For Bart? Why should he be thankful to God when it wasn't God that he should have given thanks to? The fact is, it isn't bad to give thanks to the people. But ultimately, who are we thankful to? That is the question. The to whom line of questioning is like pulling threads that keep unraveling. And the end of each thread is, in its ultimate sense, God. Simple illustration. A farmer and his son work like dogs to get the harvest in. There's bad weather, there's breakdowns. They wouldn't have gotten the harvest in that year if it wasn't for one another. And after the harvest is over, they sit down at the table and they decide to celebrate over supper. And the dad looks at his son at a pivotal moment and says, "Son, I want you to know something." And at this point, he's got a tear in his eye. And he says, "Son, I could never have done this without you. Thank you for all of your hard work, your love for this farm, your caring so much for Mom and I. I am forever grateful for all you have done." The farmer is absolutely correct to say this to his son, isn't he? And then the son comes back to his father and says in this emotional moment, "Dad, you are my biggest supporter. You've always loved me. You've cared for me. You supplied my needs. And it's my greatest joy in my life to work my tail off for you on this farm because I love it and I love you so much." The son is absolutely correct to say those things to his dad. It's a heartwarming moment. But as both of these are sitting there and they're celebrating, they should also acknowledge God as they start pulling the threads behind what they've just said to one another. Their health, their strength to get the harvest in. Neither one of them would have been there for one another if it wasn't for their health, their strength, the rain that the crops received, the safety that they had as they worked together with the equipment. I would guess that the two, as they sat there, could visit for an extremely long time about all the reasons they have to be thankful to God as they start pulling on threads. Here's my challenge for us. Pull on the threads. As the to whom am I thankful? You know, don't just pull on the thread a little bit. But pull it until you get to its ultimate end. Pull it out. The one that you ought to be ultimately thankful for is God. Let me just, in closing here, encourage you with the gospel. Perhaps you're here, you're listening to this, you start to think that there are places in your life in which you are ungrateful. You wouldn't be alone. Because everybody in this room sitting around you is ungrateful in one sense or another. We are not perfect in this area. Only Jesus Christ is. Perhaps we're thinking of specific instances. Perhaps we've been ungrateful because of prosperity or entitlement. Perhaps it's the to whom question that we really get. I mean, we can leave it here and just determine and say, do better. Go out and be more grateful. But the fact is, we've already failed in this area. And if we're being honest, we will continue to fail no matter how much we can determine to do better. You can leave here and determine to be more thankful, but I guarantee you will fall short and you might not even realize it. Like your daily Bible reading plan or the plan that you have to pray every day. We start off well, but before we know it, we've slipped. But there was one who lived a life perfectly. He was perfectly grateful in every area. He was grateful to God for everything. And where we were ungrateful, Jesus excelled on our behalf, and the sin of our ingratitude was laid on him, and his perfect gratitude then given to us. So that in Christ, we are completely accepted by God. We are that good son. And we come to God, and as Romans 9 says, we say, Abba, Father. He's our dad that loves us and accepts us. And I say this because Jesus bore your sin and earned your approval with God on your behalf. No more do you have to do to earn God's approval. Your approval before God has already been won. As Christians set out to try and be more grateful to earn his approval so that God will be happy with us, the fact is, the gospel declares that God is already happy with us in Christ. So we want to be grateful people, not because God will be pleased with us, but because we are delighting in what God has already done for us in Christ to get our status right before him. He is already pleased with us. So there's every incentive in the life of the believer to determine to be grateful, not out of duty, but out of delight. Out of delight for what God has already done. The gospel gives us reason to obey. Out of delight in what God has already done in Jesus Christ for us. So, this Thanksgiving, this season, and every month that follows, pull on some threads. Start pulling them. Be thankful. Be thankful for the people around you. Be thankful for the family and the friends that you have. Don't miss that God has put those people in your life. Be thankful for them. And then continue to pull on those threads until you get to the gospel and what Jesus Christ has done for you. And determine to be a grateful person, not out of duty and what you can do to earn God's approval, but out of delight what Christ has already done for you to earn your approval. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come here this evening, we gather together, and we thank you for your goodness to us. We sit here and we think about how many ways in which we are grateful and how we thank you for the people that you've put in our lives, the things that you've done and given us. Lord, to count the ways that you are faithful, to count the ways in which we are to be grateful to you for what you've done for us is impossible. Lord, we recognize that you deserve all the glory, all of the honor, for everything about us, for who we are, who we're becoming. But yet, so often, we turn our hearts and we turn toward ingratitude. And we start focusing on ourselves and what we've done. And in that moment, we're not believing the gospel. Lord, I pray that our focus would be on the truth of the gospel, that we would be grateful people, not out of duty, but out of delight for what you've done for us. Lord, I pray that this Thanksgiving season, that we would focus our attention on what you've done for us in every reason that we have to be thankful. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this sermon resource from BethelMBChurch.org. If you'd like to learn more about Bethel Church or find other resources, please visit our website at BethelMBChurch.org. Bethel Church exists to bring glory to God by promoting the joyful worship of Jesus Christ both here and abroad.